Brought to you by Face to Face Games.
The first rule of Fight Club is...
All right, everybody, welcome to another amazing episode of Hype Club. This is episode 6. I am Maddie Studios.
And I am Tony Awesome Sauce, ready to fight you here.
Yes, well, no one's fighting yet, but we could get into it, because this episode, folks, we've got jam-packed. Mike, a little over the 45-minute mark, as I say that every week, and we go an hour. but we've had a really crazy week. We've had a lot of discussion on modern formats, talk from Mark Rosewater on Blogatog, announcements, very interesting. So let's just jump into it, and let's talk about the state of eternal formats in Magic the Gathering right now, which I feel is very relevant. We can start it off with, let's just get to the core of the argument. There are no more modern Pro Tours, as we know, but there really isn't any big modern events. Modern has been, I guess, removed from competitive level Magic, I want to say. We've got standard everything, which is interesting. We've been told by Helen, Elaine, and Mark multiple times from multiple channels, hashtag Wizards of the Coast staff, that their focus is selling the standard set. What do we feel about that?
Well, I mean, we've called it the promotional tour for a little while now because that's actually how we feel about it. But
I think that's actually what they call it, too.
Yeah, I do.
I think that's what they call
it. Before it was just a secret. Now,
Now the cat's out of the bag.
Now it's out. So, but this isn't really, like, new information. It's just finally happening.
I think we all knew that, you know, hey, Pro Tours are done to sell the new set. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think that's just fine. I think that there's been a correlation of people that have viewed the Pro Tour as like professional level sports. And I don't believe Wizards of the Coast views it as that. They view it as just a big commercial. That's what it is. And they don't really care about the professional sports side of it. Hence why they keep changing and mucking with it. But let's just talk quickly about standard only approach to Magic in general. Is this good, bad? Why and how it affects everyone in the game. Because as my player journey, and probably as yours, you know, we've been through the birth of a modern format, which if you're sold that bill of goods, and we all were, that, hey, you know, you couldn't play Legacy and you didn't really like Standard and you had all these cards from 10, 20 years, what are you going to do with them? And they said, hey, Modern, this is what you got. And I think everybody gravitated towards Modern, who wasn't already like a Vintage or Legacy player, and you know, the format took off. And apparently, to Mark Rosewater, the format is fine now, and it's not a baby, and it doesn't need to be coddled, so let's, you know, ignore it. And that, I understand from some point of view why they did that, but as the player and the person who's sitting here, like, playing Modern decks, watching Modern decks, it feels like abandonment. Well, I don't know, like, how does that filter down even to an LGS level? Like, that must be it's very disappointing, I guess, to a lot of people.
Okay, so I think you kind of nailed it with the abandonment issues here. So,
we're middle children.
Yeah, just like... you know what, everybody, lean back in your chairs, get comfortable. Therapy is about to begin.
Yes.
I think, honestly, though, the modern players and the people who consider themselves modern players, you know who you are, versus people who just play modern because they play all forms of Magic, have had the largest breach of trust. They've been through the most intense emotional roller coaster than any other type of player in the shortest amount of time. You know, Modern's only, what, 5 years old? Six yep. years old since the inception yep. of the format, to basically its death. And
well,
that's
I mean,
not that's not to say that Modern's dead, but I really firmly believe that Modern in its current form now will look very different, if anything at all, in, say, another 5 years.
Yeah. Now, the one thing that we have to talk about, because I know there's a large contingency of content creators, and those content creators, including us, you know, we are a voice in the community. Many of them, it's their job. And once something is your job, you need to roll out content every week. So you're always looking for something. And why I'm mentioning this is it's really important. And I know Wedge from the Mana Source talked about it, and Rogue Deck Builder talked about it, is that when the content creators are not being told by Wizards of the Coast that this is something that they're focusing on, they don't focus on it because it's lost revenue. So they look at it from in terms of, well, Wizards is announcing this standard thing. I should cover that because people are watching what's going on. And that harken back to, if something is being talked about, it's current. And you are, as human beings, we gravitate towards it. If no one is talking about it, hence the old adage, good press, any press is good. When people aren't talking about you, you're dead. And that is like, you know, I hear Legacy players talking about now, laughing at Modern players, and like, this is what you get. This is, and they're right. If no one is talking about it, it's essentially, I'm going to put in air quotes, dead. Because it, you know, it's a format. It will live. It will play. I have decks. I'm not getting rid of them. You know, there's going to be events. You play with them. But the whole point of, like, what Rogue Deck Builder was talking about is there's no goal. You know, the analogy to hockey would be, hey, the Pro Tour is the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs. But now that you bought all your gear, there's no more playoffs. So you can go to your local rink and play hockey and have fun. And you're like, well, that's true. I can, but I guess I'm not going to be a professional hockey player anymore.
Yeah, it's impossible to enfranchise people that way, right?
But it's also impossible to get people hyped. And we are experts on hype. You know, I have a marketing background. We have a cast called Hype Club. We have a garage. It's full of people making shirts. To me, I see that as the biggest canary in the coal mine, is when you stop focusing on something. And we can look at Modern Masters 2017. It's 14 or 15 days away from spoilers, and there's nothing. There's no peep, nothing going on about it. And then they cancel Modern, you know, in competitive formats. To me, that is just, I don't know what's going on there, and maybe they don't understand marketing, or they just are choosing to not understand what they're doing, or this is deliberate, and this is exactly what they want to do, which I believe it is. You know, they want to go in a direction that is focusing on standard sets and get away from all of the rest of Magic, which to us as huge proponents of the player journey, that doesn't make any sense, because the more formats you have, the more options you have, the longer you stay on the path, the longer you're engaged in the journey. And for me, if you took away my format and I sell my deck, or, you know, what does everyone say now? They're going down to one deck. I have my one Modern deck. I mean, you know what? If your view is, hey, I still play Modern because I have my one Modern deck and sold everything else, dude, you're already out of the player journey. The player journey is over for you. You are just leaving a deck there in case. But you're done. You're not playing Magic anymore. And I view that is very bad for a company that is designed to sell new cards. Because you're like, oh, well, here's a cool card. Yeah, it doesn't go in my Grixis, you know, my Grixis control deck, so I don't care about it. You know? And that is a huge, huge thing. Frontier, and our journey in Frontier as we're playing it, this is the first time in so many years I have bought actual standard cards, full retail, paid for them. Why? Had nothing to do with how cool the cards were. It had to do with the fact, well, it did. The cards were pretty cool. But it had to do with the fact that, hey, I had a format, Modern, Frontier, and Standard, slash, you know, whatever, that I was like, hey, this card goes in here. Oh, this card goes in here. And I was interested in a larger number of cards, which encouraged me to actually buy cards. I didn't just go buy certain things. So to me, that's really important. And I don't think Wizards understands, you can't just cram Standard down everyone's throat and give them nowhere to go. You know, and from an LGS standpoint, I wonder, like, what? It just looks bad on them when a new player comes in, like, hey, man, remember when you told me to don't play Stan, or, you know, I wanted to leave, and you said, no, go play Magic, or go play Modern. Modern is the format. And then I did, and then they kind of, like, abandoned it, and now I'm back with my Modern deck, and you're like, well, come play Standard again? Like, oh, that is just an awkward experience, right?
I totally agree with you, but I think the things that you and I need to keep in mind as players who have been on an epic journey, whatever we want to classify over, sure, you know, 20 years is, the time frame in which things happen has grown exponentially, or I guess shrunk exponentially.
It just happens faster. Everything happens
so much faster, right? And we can't stop that. And I think Wizards is still not struggling, but trying to keep up.
They're throwing stuff at
them. You know what I mean? Yeah, exactly. And as someone in marketing, you know that you got to be ahead of the curve just by being who you are, right? Like you can't sort of like fake that.
No.
So getting back to the spoiler season starting in 14 days for Modern Masters 2, I think that they did a pretty good job of the spoilers last time when they gave us, you know, half as much time as we thought we were going to normally have. I thought it was exciting, and I thought there was plenty to talk about for the time, and the hype that it generated was, they did a pretty good job with it.
Well, you're talking Eternal Masters, right?
No, I'm talking like Amonkhet and Kaladesh when around the the new year, you know, remember when Christmas happened and New Year's and we're like, holy smokes, we haven't seen any spoilers.
Yeah, the Aether Bolt spoilers. Yeah.
Right.
That was interesting. I personally, right? I get the heightened, like, we'll shorten the time, get you more excited because you feel like they're creating false scarcity with even talking about spoilers.
Well, okay. But so they did that for
Aether Revolt.
They did that for Aether Revolt because of the time of the year, I'm assuming, as well as trying to drive as much hype into the Pro Tour as possible. So, what are we getting out of Modern Masters 2017 release? Are we getting, like, all of these modern staples that we're looking for so that, like, Modern is actually affordable and playable by everyone? Like, are these packs going to be so jammed with value that they're worthless, that actually people can play and stores can sell them for $6.99 or whatever the hoped MSRP
they're 10, is. Guaranteed they're $10.99. They're not going to back down. They would always buff up packs and put more value in them to keep that $10 because that's pure money for them, right? And if everything they're doing, I could not see, even though the best thing long term you could do would be make the packs $6.99 again, put good value in them, a la Modern Masters 1, and let the format, I'm going to use the word crash, which is wrong, but let the format breathe a bit, where there's no interference for a year. And maybe a lot of decks drop in value. Maybe people, you know, card value is eroded slowly. Like, look at Tarmogoyf, man. If that gets printed again, that card is, like, going to be forever under $100. This is done, right? But, like, if that happens, maybe that's good. But it's also bad. Because, yes, cards are cheaper, but also enthusiasm and interest is not there. So so the people who own the cards, so the people that were loyal to the format have had value taken away. Which, okay, that's fine, I guess, if the format's growing. But if the format isn't growing and no one's playing, it's just a pure loss. And again, we talked about in the beginning of the show, like, people like us who invested in Modern day one, it feels like just such a rub, you know? Like, it's just like, oh, like, everything about it is just, like, disappointing all the time. And it's frustrating that you're like, I just want to watch Modern. And I made that tweet when I'm like, look, I understand. I understand about Pro Tours and that. And I understand. But you know what I really wanted to do? I just wanted to watch pros play Modern. Even if they hate it, I wanted to watch high-level Magic. And
that's it, though. It's high-level Magic is what you want to see.
Right. And maybe, and this is the thing, maybe it's not going to be from Wizards of the Coast. Maybe it's Star City Games. Maybe it's Faceface. Maybe someone realizes the gigantic hole in the marketplace. And I mean, it's going to take someone with a little bit of balls. It's not vision because it's clearly there. The hole in the marketplace is absolutely gigantic. It doesn't take a genius to see that there's demand and people want it. It's just hard to generate profit from it. And that is going to be the business conundrum of how can we find a way to make Magic, especially Modern, you don't even know. We can make it viewable. People will watch. You'll get 10,000 for a stream. Problem is, how do you make money off it? And maybe that is why and where coverage went, right? Last year they experimented with half the coverage to see, what did it do? Did numbers drop? I imagine they did. And they probably don't, they don't have a correlation, which is why they gave it back to us. Now they're like, okay, let's put it back. And they're going to watch and say, do standard numbers increase? Is that what it was? So who knows? I don't know. Maybe. I think it's just, there's a lot of factors here that are eliminating, they're eliminating the glue that keeps you stuck in a path. And it's like, you can't keep doing this. They're axing so many things about value all the time. They're removing value, removing value. Like, yes, maybe it costs you a little bit of money to put on a modern event. But I'm a modern player who's watching it, who's now going to pick his deck up and say, "Ooh, how can I improve this? Is there any, like, maybe I need fatal pushes," right? Like, there is that correlation that it does sell cards, but it maybe doesn't benefit you particularly who's putting on the stream, right? Like, maybe I don't buy my cards from SCG because I watched your modern event. Maybe I went to Face. Maybe I went to Fireball. Who knows? But the point is, like, the format is growing, or the format at least is being fed, right? And I think a lot of people view Eternal formats as being starved, that, you know, you exist and that's fine. You know, someone pays a couple grand for a deck, they're not going to throw it away. It's there, but it's just not doing anything. And, you know, maybe that's just the new way we need to adjust to things, right? Maybe this is the pre-attempt at getting us used to this, because Magic Digital Next is going to be a different type of beast, right? You got standard if you want to play paper, and you got Magic Digital Next.
I feel like right now you are Jack finally realizing that he's also Tyler, because the whole time you're talking about this, this is what I wanted to say, is that you said in our pregame warm up that there's an ebb and flow to things. Yeah. So if they do the old pump and dump with this modern Masters here and give everybody all the cards that they want to play with and then don't support it, people will hopefully buy into all the modern cards, put all those cards into their collection / their supply while the prices tank and everyone gets salty or whatever you feel that the negative implications of that can be. And then we just come back to it in X amount of time, and then those players are just rewarded again, and the cycle starts all over again, just like it happened with, you know, Vintage and Legacy. And I actually recently just watched the Walking the Plains again with the brothers and the guys who play Vintage, right? And they're the original story of this. They're the OGs here. But it's very well possible that something like this could happen, you know, where they did the double supply on Eternal Masters. There's nothing stopping them from just printing the living heck out of Modern Masters and just literally jamming it with value so that there's infinite supply of it. And leaving the format alone for people to play at their own leisure and whenever they want. Like, you know, if they have a big Modern community and you can convince your LGS to do Modern FNM, you guys get to do Modern FNM. At Face in Toronto, we do Legacy and Standard, because that's when the Legacy players wanted to come out, was Friday night. So that's we've always done it like that. But maybe that you want to play Frontier because you have a Frontier group, like, yeah, you can play Frontier. I think that was what the original plan was when they opened up FNM to be any format, Cube, Commander, anything you want, right?
Yeah.
But I think they're leaving the player journey in the hands of the player, and a lot of those people aren't prepared to make that decision. It's overwhelming.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the thing is this. People are, you know, like we were talking earlier, if you're a modern player, you're a modern player. And people view the world inside bubbles. And to them, it's hard for a modern player to view or care about anything else.
But how do we get a modern player, Maddie?
Well, there's a lot of factors to that, right? You have to go back to, like, ask the question, why was Modern invented? Because there was a giant gap in the player base that said, I'm unhappy with Legacy and I'm unhappy with Standard. Give me something. And Wizards, it wasn't even Wizards. The community was, Gavin Verhey was making Modern already. So it wasn't Wizards who rewarded us. It was, oh my God, there's a bunch of people making a format. We should capitalize on that. And that's what's going to happen with Frontier in a couple of years. But they did that. And then everyone who was looking for value on their journey went to Modern. And I've heard this through countless player interviews and just talking with people. They're like, I played X format, I didn't like it, or I felt like the value wasn't there and I went to the one that had value. And for other people, hey man, it might be Legacy, it might be Vintage. If you have those pockets, go for it. I support you and I love it. But the point is, Modern was created to give that. And then it was taken away. And then everything about that is about removing value, because Wizards is like, we want the most profit. You know, this is capitalism. You got to get used to it. But the counter to it is, players have been taught to ignore that and to look for value. So you have this back and forth constantly. And it's very interesting that Wizards is choosing a direction of like, well, we're just going standard only. And people are like, well, there's only so much value there. So I don't know how you're going to keep us. Right. And so Modern players were created because it was a safe place. Go here. This is an eternal format. You don't have to change. Right. And we did. And that's where we went. It's hard to break your own bubble. It's hard. For how many years did I was like, I'm Modern only. Don't talk to me about anything else. I shit on everything. And then I realized very quickly, you're like, that is a horrible way to play this game.
Well, think about this. How did you get introduced into Modern? It was through the community and the A-Team, and I'm sure Scotty Mac had a big part to do about it.
Actually, you know what? The real way I got introduced to Modern is that first Pro Tour. And that's straight up, right? We watched Sam Black with that insane deck with the Shoals. I mean, that first Pro Tour got me. I was sitting there going through cards, watching that Pro Tour the whole time. Just sitting in a stack of like my collection.
Okay.
Digging for cards.
Perfect. So I think I'm with you with this is probably going to just happen with Frontier in 2 years anyways. And the very first Frontier Pro Tour, if that ever happens, would be incredibly interesting too, because it would be the highest level competition with the players that you want to see, that they have the stories that you've been following for years and you're now, you know, invested in, because that's what you want to do. You want to have an emotional attachment to what's going on.
I mean, imagine John Finkel trying to break the format.
I know.
Just imagine John Finkel playing Terminators.
Like, I know. What? I have.
Like, see, I'm already. Yeah, you already. Yeah.
So. Anyways, my point being, if we move to a system like Magic Digital Next, segue, that where you can just buy a subscription into Magic, then I don't think that it's going to be like you're starting your player journey at the edge of a cliff. Me. And every step you take is either maybe the right direction or to your doom or whatever. But if you just turned on Magic and it was like, hey, what format do you want to play? And you're like, Frontier. And like, well, here's not 8,000 cards.
Like, I get it.
So,
but like,
so I think like we need to have room to have the player base focus on increasing itself by having a focus on something. So with everything being oriented around standard for the foreseeable future, definitely not forever, but for the foreseeable future, is meant to A, appease the standard players that are currently all aspiring to be on the Pro Tour, because that's what standard is meant to do for you now, is to put you on the Pro Tour, and then get those people interested in growing the game on the ground floor. It's not, the time now isn't meant for Modern players to be growing the game.
Well, you know what's funny? We talked about earlier about like how fast things are. And what I think any good game studio or gaming in general, right, from a business standpoint, what they want is the fastest turnaround cycle. And what that is, for people that don't understand, is they want you in and they want you spent through that quarter as quick as possible and ready for the next. And so that's why it's like a yearly cycle of clear profitability. You're in, you play standard for a year, and you're out, right? That's like what they wanted to do, and people complain. That's why they had to go put standard back to 18 months. But that's what they really wanted. They just wanted you in the cycle quicker and quicker so that you're absorbing more product, spending more money, and then you're exiting or you're into the next cycle. That's a horrible, horrible. They call that the wash. And that is a horrible way to do business. Is it profitable? Yes. Many, many, many businesses do it. It's very taxing though on the player. And what Wizards and that anyone who's practicing the wash they need new players because players who come out of the Wash don't want to go back in. And I say that because that's pretty much why Modern was created. So Wizards had been doing that and they realized there was a giant gap, right? They were like, wow, all these people that are coming out of the Wash, what are they doing? Well, they're leaving the game because they look at Legacy and they're like, if I thought, forget that. And so they were like, well, hold on a minute. We're losing some money there. So I'm very curious as to understand why now they're choosing to, again, go through a cycle of ignoring that and just saying, look, man, when you follow the standard, you're done. Go away. Which is confusing to me because you're trying to bait me into Standard with Modern and Eternal playable masterpieces, which when I fall out of the Standard Wash, what do I do with? So it's funny that to me personally, Wizards and Magic is moving towards two things. The Wash, which is the current standard format where they're cycling through as many sets as possible, and that's the promotional tour. And then there's Casual. And I think that they really want to move away from any of the Eternal formats, and they want Casual formats. Like they love Commander. Why? Because there's no rules. There's no Eternal Master sets they got to worry about. There's no people complaining. I don't have dual lands. They just are like, here's some cool cards. Here's some crazy legendaries. Yeah, here's a legendary werewolf. And people are like, we hate it. And they're like, who cares? There's more Commander product coming in a week. So I really feel like that's what they want, right? And again, they're mimicking the Standard Wash with the Commander Wash, which is every year, here's a bunch of decks. Go buy them. But there's zero they have to care about. If they break the format, they don't care. Whereas they have to worry about, oh my God, is this card Modern playable? What did we do? Did we wreck Legacy? And I think they don't want to worry about that anymore because it's probably very hard. And maybe that's what we're in. We're into this new generation of almost mobile gaming influencing paper game design where they want you in, they want you out, they want you spending. And if you're not doing that, then you are not our focus and we don't care. If you want to go play your Frontier, Modern, Legacy, Vintage formats, that's fine because that's the legacy of where the game come from. And we can't actually, you know, kill it. But if they could, they would. And Magic Digital Next, mark my words, will not give you any more value than the paper game. I know a lot of people were talking about that. Like, oh, we're going to get collections. We're going to get subscriptions. And I'm like, what world are you living in? That is not going to happen. And here's why. If you give me more value in Magic Digital Next than I can get from paper, guess what I'm doing? Not going to play paper. The majority of their sales are from paper Magic. So if you look at how, you know, V4 and V3 and all the Magic Online clients that have existed and how they have moved to leagues, they always have trimmed value. They've always have trimmed prizes. They've never given it back. So to suddenly think that Magic Digital Next is going to be this great value play is a joke. That's not happening. Will it be a cool visual experience? Yeah, I think that's their goal. I think that's going to be cool. You know, are we going to play it? Sure, we'll try it out because we're on a journey and we'll play everything and we'll see if it's good or not. But is there going to be long-term value in it? I don't think so. I think it's going to be another wash product where they're going to want you in for a cycle of leagues and they're going to want you out. Or just, you know, if you want to stay, you can stay. But it's not going to be a place of like, wow, for $15 a month, I get like a subscription to Modern. I just don't see that, you know. This is a product, remember, that they want to play on on every operating system, on Android phones, you know, on iPhones. You can't play Magic on a fucking phone. Sorry. I had to swear. I'd use our one swear word because you can't. That's
your second.
You can't. Is it? Okay, well, I'll go back and find the other one.
I know.
But you can't. You can't. Like, to me, you can't. It's going to be a very Hearthstone-y, very simple, like, experience. Because it's just impossible on a small size screen to give you anything beyond what you think Magic is. Oh, and by the way, the one thing I did hear about Magic, which I believe is the most credible rumor to date, is Magic Digital Next is working with a partnership with Skype. And we talked about this last time, and I really believe that Magic Digital Next is just going to be paper Magic that you play over Skype.
Well, you heard it here second, probably.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe that's being ridiculous. But for people who believe, like, that's what Magic Digital Next is, it's not going to happen, man. It's not. It'll be Hearthstone. There'll be sound effects. There'll be Jace will be saying, aw, in emo. And he'll comb his hair, you know, like. I mean, that could be cool. It could be cool. I don't know. Maybe not, right?
Oh, man.
I don't know. Anyways, the point is this. Like, from an LGS level, this is what I wanted to know. We've had a very bizarre 3 months, right? Where we came out of 2016 and we're like, okay, we want everything to be positive, yet there seems to be some things that are bait and switches, like, hey, we're giving you back coverage, but by the way, none of it's modern.
Yeah.
So from an LGS level standpoint, like, do you see people and players who are feeling that, like, walking in like, oh, they took modern away from me, now what?
Sort of, but not in, it wasn't like a band-aid. It's been, you know, over time. And each player on their journey, hopefully that comes and sees me and gets to interact with the store and all the offerings that we have, has somewhere to sort of land when they feel like they've had the rugs pulled out from underneath them. So I have been seeing it for a while. First, it started with the availability of Modern Masters 1, where the players who wanted to use that as their platform to get into the format actually couldn't just because of scarcity. Then the desirability of the cards from Modern Masters 2 just wasn't there. It was, you either hit the big mythic or you got Oriok Salvagers again.
Also, talk about the print quality.
Of course.
The darkness of the print. Like, even some cards, people don't even... I find it hilarious that there are cards in Modern Masters 2 or 2015 that people don't even want the foils of because they're just so dark. They're like, nah, those aren't worth anything. What?
I mean, that's crazy. I know. And they also, you know, they're not the straightest cards ever. You know, they bend and curve. Like, they're pretty bad. Moving into Modern Masters 3, I think this might be sort of the last hurrah to get the players who are almost have their quote-unquote complete modern collections, whatever that means, to get them a bunch of cards and to get other people excited and remember that modern is a format before trying to, like, push it online with other Eternal formats.
Now, here's the big question. Modern Masters 2017, there is no GP. Even though there may be some, like, whatever, I don't know. I've heard rumors that there could be GPs that might be Modern Masters limited. But do you think Modern Masters 2017 is going to be even limited focused? Yes, it will be drafted, as all sets can be. But do you think they're going to be like, let's just jam it. Just jam it. Let's have less care about, like, that it's draftable. Because I believe, and I think you do too, this is it. There's not going to be a Modern Masters 2019, you know?
I mean, that is how I feel. So, that's why I said from the start, you know, maybe it's just rammed with value.
I'm excited regardless because I just want to see. I know it sounds crazy after we, like, kind of, you know, talk bad about everything, but it's not really. It's just, again, like, I talked about this so many times. It's frustration, and I don't know any other hobby, and many people make, you know, claim Magic is like other hobbies. Man, there is no other hobby. Yes, you have a learning curve, and that's where frustration can come from. But I don't know many other hobbies where I feel frustrated just witnessing things come out for the game. Like, it's frustrating, you know? And maybe that is because most sports and hobbies offer you a very narrow window, and they're like, this is how you play, this is who you have to be to play, right? Yet Magic's like, you can be anyone, you can do anything. And so, you know, that is a double-edged sword where they can't please everyone because the game is too open. It's just, it appeals to too many different game sets and mindsets of how to play it and why to play it and where to play it, right? And maybe that's why many people view it as, oh, Magic players just complaining again. Yet it's just, hey, they can't hit everything perfectly for everyone, you know? And maybe I think that's a lot of it. And if we all kind of, like, take a step back and realize, like, yeah, that's true, you know, we can maybe try to approach things with a more positive attitude if we can. But the frustration is underlining a lot of things. And again, that, to me, it's always come down to the erosion of value. And that's just, I hope we change that.
No. Yep. Well, I mean, there's got to be an entry point that you want your new players to come in at. That's very clearly standard. And okay, from standard, you said it best, man. They're like, you're kind of on your own. You know, hopefully, someone picks you up in their play group and their LGS or whatever, their environment, and absorbs you into, you know, positive spending habits and good play patterns and, you know, things like that, like getting you into formats that are supported locally. Like, at GP Pittsburgh, I read there was 3 Frontier side events, none of them fired.
Yeah.
And that doesn't really surprise me. Because
no, of course
putting the word Frontier on something doesn't make it successful.
Yeah, thank you. I know a lot of people are like, you know, pinning that and saying it's the death knell of Frontier. And I'm like, you guys just – people who want everything to fail because that makes them feel good is just wrong. Like that's – I mean, I guess that's your way. Have fun with it, bro. But
that's
that doesn't
just
mean
like
that Frontier
your
fails.
Opinion, man.
Yeah, dude. I mean, that's fine. You can have that opinion. But that opinion is not – like your joy of seeing other things fail – is, again, something that I believe is wrong with the game, wrong with the community. I think that's just negative energy feeds off negative energy. And that's how you get people exiting formats, washes. They're like, I'm done with this. You know, talking to Rico, who, you know, he's very upset about, like, why he left. And he's like, you know, toxicity in the community. Number one reason he left. Overprice. You know, so all those people who like to, you know, be negative about things, realize what you're doing. Like, you are costing people the game. So, you know, you can address comments, that's fine. But if your joy at seeing things fail is like, gets you off, I think that's wrong. And looking at Frontier, I think everyone has to understand formats wax and wane, right? So we used to have a very different format where Modern was a pro tour. We had a Modern season and we have Standard season and, you know, there was formats jump in and out of, and it felt that things didn't get as stale. And now with everything standard all the time, 24/7, I feel like people are just going to get stale of playing 3 decks because standard is designed, or it's solved in air quotes, to be 3 decks. All standard formats will eventually come down to just 3 decks. Rock, paper, scissors, man. We all know that. So that is something that I know many people get frustrated that why is it Mardu Vehicles, Snek, and Saheeli combo? Where's the other decks? Where's the Brewers? You know, and you're like, well, hey, Saffron Off, Rogue Deck Builder, Mildivane. They're brewing crazy decks. Mildivane's got an Eldrazi deck that's awesome. Mono Black Eldrazi. I played it, you know. There's Mono White Thropters that I saw Saffron come out with today. That's awesome, you know. But why do we not see those decks, right? Because it comes down to the competitive Pro Tour environment that we talked about last week, where they're gunning to win. There's only one choice. There's not multiple. And that is always going to be something that is just the standard thing, you know. And that's why Modern was exciting. There's like 20 decks. You could pick any one. And that was exciting, you know, for a while. And maybe that's why Frontier is like one of those things that is just going to sit there. And whether you're playing it or not really doesn't matter. It's going to be the communities that people like me and Tony are passionate about, or other communities that are like, hey, we like this. This is fun. And it's allowing standard to be more entertaining than usual because you can see how cards interact with Frontier, which is the next step down, which is your exit, right? Frontier being an exit for the wash makes so much sense that I just don't understand how Wizards is confused about it. And maybe that's why they're taking Modern away for a bit, because it's too expensive of a wash, right? You exit standard wash and you're into Modern, and you're like, whoa, $2,000 decks, you know, and maybe they want that exit to be $1,000, or maybe, who knows? I don't even know the number.
Right. Well, right now it's less than that, you know, your entrance into Frontier can be under
cheaper
$100,
than
right?
Well, yeah. But again, that, but that's not what they want either, right? You can't exit standard and go into something cheaper. They don't, cause then it's a competition of, well, hold on, there's no value here. I'm going here.
Yeah.
So, you know, I get it. We're in this like bizarre beta time where Frontier shouldn't have come about, but it did because of factors. And there were billions. It's too many factors to even talk about why, but it did. It's out there. People know of it. So, you know, like, I can't remember. Was it Cool Stuff or Card Kingdom? One of them was tweeting, well, you know, our LGS doesn't run Frontier because it failed. And I looked at it and I was like, well, that's, again, any format. If your game store has, let's say, 5 people come in for Commander and you crap on them every time you're here and say, get out, we only run Standard. Guess what? Those people are going to be like, well, we don't play Commander here because those people are rude. right? Like, so if, but if you had a person in the store that's like, I love Commander, come in, you want to borrow a deck, you want to play, you will see more people gravitate towards that format. Yep. And maybe it's not about games, it's not about the format in general, it's about how the format is approached at the LGS level, right? I get it, the LGS mimics Wizards. Wizards says, sell standard. Well, you're a business, you're like, oh man, I got to buy like four of these things every year. I got to sell it, sell, sell, sell. And again, like, you know, you've seen it, you're on the ground floor. There are people that want to play that game. That's fine. That's awesome. And hey, man, standard's cool. There's some really interesting brews. I think there's still brews there. But at the same time, if you see that there are people gravitating towards something else, promote it too. Because at the end of the day, they're in a journey. The longer they're in the journey sitting in your store, you make money. And I think I wish Wizards in general looked at that as more of a long-term profitability thing versus this quarter we need to hit X number.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely affords me the broadest spectrum of the player journey, which I'm just going to be grateful for every day, that I just get to play Magic no matter what it is, basically yep. whenever I want. So for me, that's a really positive thing. But yeah, the my job and my goal as, you know, a community member and leader is to be able to set people on the right journey, and I just need that support from Wizards, and this is how we communicate it to them. this is our soapbox, you know.
It is, man. But you know, let's talk about like 93-94, because for real quick, because I think
for because a lot I posted of, my deck on Twitter and you didn't yeah. post yours back.
I did, dude. I posted mine first.
I know, but you should have put it in the same thread. Anyways, we'll put them up together.
I was horrible. I'm horrible.
Yeah.
Also, I was embarrassed because he organized his deck really nice in the picture. I'm like, man, mine looks like so crappy. I just threw it together. No, let's talk about this because it's something that I think many people need to experiment more with in their own player journey. You know, whether you're in your bubble or not, or, you know, you've got two rooms in your bubble, you know, you have to try to get out there and try new things. Because I feel like when you do that, you can come back to other things or other formats and feel like they're not so stale, as weird as that sounds. So 93-94, do I have dual lands? No. Do I have all the expensive stuff? No. Proxy guy, Josh, my hero, my savior, my God, I pray to you. He hooked me up. He got me some incredible super arts, of some of the cards I wanted, because for me, it's not even about like an investment vehicle or any of that. It was just, all I really wanted to do is you got me hyped up playing, your 93 deck. And I was like, I really want to just cast Sarah Angel again. That was for me, one of my first things I did. You know, I cast Sarah Angel and I cast Shivan Dragon. Man, that feeling, you know, that, and I know it's like going back and watching Thundercats now, you know, the 80s children, right? We're like, retro everything. But there is some fun in that. And even just shuffling through the deck, I was laughing because the play patterns are so different, right? They're so much different than current Magic.
Oh, yeah. Like
the complexity level is just not there. It is not. And maybe, I don't know, it's just raw power. It does feel like raw power because it's just like, you know, boom, 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 boom. Can you deal with this? No? Okay, well, I'm just going to keep hitting you, right? Fireball you for 10. You're dead.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, but it's fun. It's fun. Would I play, you know, people ask me, well, is it a replacement? No. No format is a replacement for another one. It's just a deck now that I have that looks really nice and I bring it with me. And can I get a game of this in? Can I get a game of that in? You know, it's like Tapas, man. You know, bring a plate of formats over. Let's pick and choose and let's have a different experience tonight. I think more game stores in general should foster that approach, but also people in general, like in your own community, right? Like in your own, let's say, EDH community or, you know, modern play group. Maybe try to mix it up, guys. You know, it's really fun. I know few people will look at it as it's a waste of money or it's a waste of time, you know, because X, you're chasing this goal, right? But now there is no more goal. Unless you're in standard and you want to be on the pro tour, there really isn't a goal anymore. It's you're just playing to have fun. And maybe that's Wizards' design. I don't know. Maybe they know better than all of us. You know?
Well, I mean, that's yet to be proven, but we'll see. We'll see.
But like, I'm excited. I next time I come down, we're gonna definitely come down. I hope Grumpy brings his deck, because now I'm gonna get him to build one, and we'll have fun, because it just looks like a fun, different play experience. And the best thing is taking your draft deck and jamming it. Like, let's go, let's battle, right?
Yeah.
Like, oh man, I have so much fun just casually jamming different decks against each other and seeing what happens.
Yeah.
Because it's so rarely done, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's just, and it's about the experience and just seeing what happens and experimenting. And like, we're like new format Homer science doctors, doctor mm-hmm. scientists.
Doctor scientists? We're doctor scientists of new formats?
Yeah.
I like that. The new shirt coming in 2018.
Yeah, it's just picture Maddie and I covered in soap.
And scrubs.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's awesome. Oh my goodness. Okay, so let's talk about a few things that also happened. We got something called Magic Open House. And I don't even know what this is, but from Elaine Chase's article, she was saying that they tried a bunch of stuff last year and they want to try some stuff this year. That's how vague the article was. Really, it was very vague. And, you know, she's essentially saying, hey, we're going to try fun stuff. And I'm like, okay, that's pretty cool. And they end the article by saying, full art lands are, air quotes, here for Amonkhet, but they may not be in Amonkhet, which would be very bizarre. But what we're getting is these Magic Open House promo full art, foil, I think they're foil. I can't remember. Full art, Amonkhet lands. So obviously we know full art lands sell. We love full art lands. So I am biased. You know, I'm letting everyone know. I love them. I've been dying to have a Plains with a Pyramid on it forever.
There is a Plains with a Pyramid.
It's not full art. So stop. Now, I want a yellow Plains with a Pyramid and nothing else. And maybe the sun. I love minimal single monotone color artwork. Full art lands, because they don't get confused.
Pretty sure that card exists.
Well, then you show it to me. Okay, first viewer to show it to me. Let's go. I'll send you a sticker.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, right? Oh, oops, did I spoil them? Yes. Stickers are coming. Okay, so this is very interesting because they're only getting 25 a store. And I figure this is a bizarre... Again, it's like those weird alternate art dual lands that they're going to be giving as well for prizes. And I guess that a new, like, maybe someone in the standard wash, this is exciting for them, but if a store chooses to dole these out as, like, one each, what does one land do? I mean, to me, that is very bizarre, because if I like the land, I need a playset. Is this encouraging me to chase it? You know, like, I guess. What do you think? This feels like 25 a store. These are going to be new guru lands. They're going to be, like, $30 a piece, which...
Yeah, but they're not drawn by Therese Nielsen, so.
We don't know who. Well, actually, we don't know. We don't know. You can't say that. We don't know. We do not know. It could be. I don't think so.
I can say whatever I want.
Yeah, well, because there's no knowledge yet. There's no facts here. You can't fake news because there's nothing here.
Fair. All right.
Look, all I'm saying is this. One, Amonkhet's going to be awesome. Egyptian Plain, like, I'm excited. Like, visually from my Vorthos is, like, tingling. The fact that even I get to see what full art lands could look like is gas. Oh, man. I hope, though, that they're just going to give us full art lands in Amonkhet, which would be really cool. Like, I would really, 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 really enjoy that. You know,
yeah,
over fetches. Just give me more awesome full art lands.
Yeah, I mean... You and I have had this conversation basically every 3 months for the last 5 years, but just full art lands are we're happy with those. Just make that the gold standard there. I mean, Even Pokemon switched to like really really nice full art basic energy for their newest set Sun and Moon, and that just makes me want to use them.
Yeah,
it's
and
like
you know,
a different game.
It is, right? I know this sounds silly to some people who don't care about the art, right? Like the guys who are just going for the tourney and don't care what the art is, they just care what the card does, then this is beyond you. But for the people that love customization, which I believe Magic is one of the most customizable sports there is. I mean, people, there's an entire Etsy community built of people. There's Proxy Guy. There's so many people that just are doing their own thing with it. And the land choice in your deck does matter. I will be weird. Like, one of my first decks, I remember when Zendikar first came out and I saw those lands and I saw there was a white, full art lands, Plains, and I was like, that's my soldier art. That's I'm building a soldier tribal deck, and that's my plans.
Yep.
And that's weird because I don't know why, but I'm like, it's white, it matches, it's all. And I would do weird things like that. Like I had an elf deck, but there was a specific forest art I wanted for that elf deck, you know? And maybe I'm weird. Maybe I'm the 1% of Bizarro is like,
you're Borgo's totally Mike. Not the 1%. Have you ever seen anyone's commander deck ever?
Right, right. Well, isn't that interesting? What a tie into casual formats. Again, how cool is that? That, or if this is something that we can kind of see the trend, like, is Wizards, you know, trying not to give you a planeswalker here, they're giving you a land because they probably have numbers and you're an LGS owner, you probably see it. Where I would be like, why isn't there the mythic planeswalker? And you're like, dude, the land will outsell that 10 times over.
I have multiple people, but I have someone specifically who came in to collect all of the Rebecca Gray art from the new Commander series, basic lands.
Really?
Yep.
Wow. I mean, that's the guys who chased the artists, like I envy you. I haven't been bitten by that bug yet, but there is some beautiful.
That's because you don't own any gurus yet, Maddie. Trust me.
I will never. I can't, dude. I can't. This is, dude. I gotta be careful. This the danger of this hobby is it's so slippery. You gotta draw a line, man. Gotta draw a line. Hey, by the way, I finally got my Terminators. I got my walking ballistas. They're on order.
I heard from Twitter.
I'm excited. So the other thing that I picked up was Gonti's. So I found a place out of Gonti foils for nothing, which I was watching on coverage. That card seemed really good.
I thought that card seemed hilariously bad.
Really? Four mana comes down, I get a card, I basically draw like the best of the top four, and then I get it for the rest of the game, right?
Well, until you use it.
Still, it's like drawing a powerful card that you can choose from.
You might draw a powerful card. You might draw lands. You might, you know, like.
Oh, come on, man. The chances of you hit bricking on that card is low.
It's not
impossible,
okay,
but low.
It's a very cool card that is also a 2/3 with Death Touch. So when I saw it on camera, the problem was the player just didn't attack with it.
Yeah,
which was just wrong. But it just didn't blow my mind.
So for four mana, you're like, it's not a Kalitas, right? No, is that the argument?
Pretty much. I mean,
well, Kalitas ain't gonna be in the format forever, man.
It's true. It's true. So I like your long term vision of it. I think there's something interesting there, and I believe at some point we'll have some sort of mono black control again.
Yeah, I think so. I think the other thing, too, that I was...
It's a good pickup, Maddie. That's what I'm going to say. It's a good pickup.
I mean, it's just a card that I love. There's a tribal bug in me for some reason. Like, I don't know what goes back to the green-white human days, man. But I have this thing about, like, maybe it's because I'm a completist. So, like, if I'm playing a human deck, I'm like, well, then I just want humans in it, you know? Or I'm playing my Zendikar Vampire deck, I took it apart and I regret it. Because I want to go build it again. It wasn't the best deck. In fact, it probably was like a C deck. It was bad. But man, was it so much fun to just put that vampire sword on it. Oh, whew, I love that deck. I'm building that again. Screw it. I'm building it. And I think like that is the passion I want to see more of from people. And it's sad that we don't have any outlet for it besides the kitchen table. You know, and that was something I was like asking during the Pro Tour. I was like, could we? I don't even know if it's possible. This is like a question for the audience, right? Here's what I pose to you. How do you encourage brewing in a professional level? And I don't know if that's a bounty or a bonus structure of the person who isn't playing one of the top three decks, which, again, these metrics are going to be incredibly hard to calculate or even maybe not possible. I don't know. But you know what I miss? I miss Conley Woods going to the Pro Tour with his, like, crazy, what was it, a Necrotic Ooze deck.
Yeah.
Like, I miss that. I miss, like, these are the things. And maybe I'm a filthy casual, and maybe what we really need is a Pro Tour for casuals. What? Did I just say that?
It's the casual tour? You're a new format homer, okay? You're not a filthy casual.
Okay, look. I think there is something here. I don't know what it is. It needs further delving. But there has to be a way to have something that isn't the Pro Tour, right? This is what I'm thinking in my mind. In my mind is a bizarre place. I don't encourage you to go there. But I don't. I say stay out at all costs, man.
Blue pill.
Blue pill, get out. But you know what? Imagine if we had a modern, I can't say the word Pro Tour. So let's say a modern...
Well, we can distinguish between promotional and professional.
Well, yes. But I think the Wizards wouldn't want that because then it negatively impacts them. Whatever, let's call it the Modern Gauntlet. Imagine if you had 12 months, right? Like, let's just say, theoretical world we live in. We don't live in it, but let's say, right? Alternate world theory. Here we go. SCG, Star City Games, Face, all get together. They make the Modern Gauntlet. Every month, there's a major tournament, like a GP-level size tournament, right? In a different city. At the end, the top X amount of people all face off for $100,000. Dude, and it's modern. That sounds epic. Does that not sound epic? I would be super excited to watch that.
Yeah, right? that would be awesome. And that would be great because you could follow... It would be a parallel story to mm-hmm. the promotional tour.
Yeah.
And I think there would be... If you could incentivize the players who are going to the Modern Gauntlet through monetary means versus... You know, coverage and fame and...
Well, you have to have coverage.
I understand. But, like, you're not... The story that is made of the people in the Modern Gauntlet will be made by themselves. For example, True. Wizards you're is right. putting the effort into creating the backstories of the people in their tournaments currently, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, if you just put that money into the cash purse of it, would you divide it up so that your promotional tour was... expanded through PPTQs and PTQs now at every GP on Sundays, and then some of the amount of people would play strictly on the Modern Gauntlet, and then some really crazy bastards would just actually get to earn a living playing professional Magic.
Exactly. I guess it comes down to, and I mean, maybe it's Kelly I got, you know, we have to talk to, but I don't know how the financial aspects work out at it, but if you could run a GP, right, I assume there's profit enough to cover coverage. So during the GP, right, you cover the cost of running the GP and the cost of covering the GP, right? If you did those two things and the purse, this sounds pretty interesting. And the fact that maybe, I don't know, it would be nice if Wizards threw something at it. Like, how awesome is if they acknowledge that they could run both of them, and maybe they do it on alternating weekends so that there never is a modern weekend conflicting with a pro, you know, a professional level standard event, so that there's no, you know, they don't feel like they're bleeding themselves. But if you did that, that sounds like you could have a Modern Masters every year. You could have it be a smaller set with less cards in it, but higher quality. And then it's something to talk about, right? Yep. That sounds like, imagine then you got 12 months and the last month at the finals, right? We get a draft round of the modern set, the Modern Masters set, or how sick would this be? You take, maybe you do Chaos Drafts or something really cool. Like, we'll take a box of Zendikar, a box of original Innistrad, and Return to Ravnica. Boom. Or maybe it's Modern Masters 2018, 2019, whatever. And they could give us those sets. That sounds incredibly exciting, right? In Vegas, imagine this. The finals in Vegas, you get a Modern Masters set release and you get to be there and watch the finals. That is our dream.
That'd be awesome.
As a modern, right? So not only do I get to play in the GP because I want to play, I can play side events or I could watch the actual coverage. I mean, that's to me, like, that is what I think most people go into these Vegas GPs because they're kind of synonymous with modern now, but you know, Helen, like that's what we want. Or Helene, we really want, I channel my French right in there. You know, we want something that is a spectacle, right? And if you know, we don't need you jamming down the latest set, but we want, that's where you create this entire gauntlet about a format. Right? And maybe modern isn't enough. You know, maybe you need to add in legacy and vintage to it. As, you know, parallel events running at the same time. That sounds awesome. And we just call the whole thing Eternal Masters. And right. It's just about Eternal formats. To me, that sounds incredibly exciting. It does sound like, I know why Wizards will never, ever, ever do it. Because the Bobs are sitting there behind their accounting spreadsheets and they're like, well, how much do we make on this? Nothing? Oh. Or, you know, we don't make enough. Right, because that's not enough. Or we only have X promotional budget for one modern set a year, so nope, doesn't work. Because they want mega profits, right? They're satisfying Hasbro stockholders. They're not just trying to make a little bit of profit. And maybe that's where like an, I don't know, Star City, Channel Fireball conglomerate kind of like, I don't know if they could all get along, but if they could, wow. Not only does that keep those Eternal Format cards in the spotlight, so to say, to encourage people to stay in those formats or innovate in those formats, but it gives you, like Rogue Deck Bros was asking for, something to aim for, something to go for, right? A modern player who doesn't play standard, who just, I just want to win a modern tournament. Hey, boom, the Modern Gauntlet. How sick is that? You know?
Yeah, yeah, here's a tournament that you could actually possibly win.
Yeah, and put me in charge of all the like marketing materials of it, and I'll make sure every tournament has like its own custom shirt that's awesome, unique designs. Like I could make
trophies
everything
that
like,
actually look awesome,
right? I mean, dude, come on! Like I will find a trophy guy. Like those trophies are so gorgeous. I mean, horrible looking. They're just garbage water. they're garbage water of beetles. Like it's ugh, dude, come on. You know, do something classy. I'm just saying, I think, like, I don't know if we would get Owen Turnbull. I don't know if the guys who are trying to make a living at Pro Tour Magic, I don't know if they would play this format. And maybe that's a good thing, right? Maybe it's a bad thing. I'm not sure. But, you know, imagine seeing Tyler LaFroe up there or any of our, like, you know, guys that just love the Eternal format. I would like that, you know?
It'd be nice for Wizards to finally fly Mildy over to see us.
Oh, yeah, right? Mildy would crush that. Mildy would crush that. Jackie might even have a shot at winning something for once.
Right?
I'm just saying.
If it's draft, Bruce will play. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. But whatever. Brew battle, believe. Who knows, man?
Yeah.
But, you know, maybe then at least you could offer the Brewer's Bounty, right? The person who you have everyone at the tournament. Like, you could do so many cool things. Everyone at the tournament, like, put up the decks and everyone votes. You get one vote. Vote on a deck you think is the most innovative. Even if it doesn't matter, regardless of that person's finish, right? Or you could group it in terms of the overall most innovative deck and the most innovative that finished the highest.
Yep.
And you give them something. To me, that is exciting. And that is like what I'm looking for. Maybe I'm the minority, you know? Tell me. Maybe I'm crazy. Maybe crazy Maddie, right? I'll go sit beside Crazy Rudy and we'll throw cards at the
God.
Wall.
That's so right? much crazy.
I mean, that would be a funny show. I would do it. But I'm just saying, that is, again, another way to look at this where the community needs to start to take back. You know, we've allowed or we sat passive and watched what Wizards has done and then complained. Maybe it's time to take it back, you know? Maybe it's time to take it into something that we want. And maybe what we want necessarily isn't profit-driven. You know, maybe it's experience-driven. And that sounds epic to me.
That is what we want.
That is what we want, folks. I don't know if we'll get it. Maybe never will. But who knows? It's pretty sweet. Now, let's end the show. We've got some interesting stuff to talk about. So last week we asked for, you know, your Road Warrior brews. We got a few of them. Milty Vane decided to just go hardcore and make Thunderdome. And he's got Mono Black Eldrazi and he's crushing the queues with it. Hit him up on Twitter for his list. It's very interesting. I built it. I played it. I'm having a bit of mixed success with it, probably because I'm not as good a player as he is. But it's
definitely because of that.
Totally, man. When all I know is this. When I was bashing people with like Thought Not Seer and Reality Smashers, people are like, oh, yeah, I forgot that. This is a really hard card to deal with. Right?
Yep.
They're like, oh, yeah, you just thought knotted away my Shaheeli, right? Oh, now I'm dealing with a Reality Smasher that I can't kill. Oh, I can't push it? Oh, no. Can I grasp it? No. Oh, no. You know, so those cards are still awesome. And I think if you're looking at it as a long-term player or, like, wanted to buy in on Eldrazi, just wait, man. Those cards long-term are just so powerful. So keep an eye on them. Because I think there's some really good cards in there that also work with Terminators.
Ooh, yeah. Ooh, I mean.
I said something. Shh, keep it on the download.
Yeah.
what Eldrazi enters with counters? What?
What?
Yeah, what? Nothing. We're not talking about that. Okay, but what we are talking about is Tony came up with something that's pretty crazy. So walk me through. I don't even know what we're calling this deck, but it's nuts.
I don't know. Maybe this is where I landed on with Road Warriors. I feel like we're sort of a mix between Terminators and Smashicles.
Or Terminator
smashing Terminator circles. that's not going to work.
really, but, this is like throwing vehicles. I feel like that's what this deck is.
Yeah, but maybe this is actually what Rogue Warriors is. So okay. we have currently the build that I have in my hand, I think, is the one that I'm going to put up. 11 in Soul Artifacts.
I know. You're already like, whoa. Okay, so this is a Frontier list, just so people know.
Right. Yeah, there's a Frontier tournament coming up. It's very important that I top 8 it. So, and Matt Mealing's on vacation, so I get to do whatever I want and then make all my own bad deck choices and live with the repercussions.
Oh, perfect. I'm coming to this one.
Also, he took all of the Walking Ballistas and then went on vacation. So
no.
Thanks, Matt.
Yeah, thanks, Matt.
So we have 4 Siege Modification, 4 in Soul Artifact, and 3 Tezzeret's Touch.
And where did you land? Because I know the double red on Siege Modification is always what held me back. So is this deck heavy red?
Yeah, the actual only black sources are 4 Aether Hub and 4 Spire of Industry.
Okay.
So we only have the 3 black spells because we have 4 Spire Bluff, Canal, and 4 Shivan Reef. So as far as having double red goes, we have, you know, 4 Canals, 4 Spires, 4 Shivan Reef, and 4 Aether Hub.
Okay.
We still get to play Tomb of the Spear Dragon. I love that card. It's going to gain a bunch of life. And Inventor's Fair, as well as Darksteel Citadels. That's pretty basic for Ensoul Artifacts.
Yep.
So, then we have the Terminator section. 4 Hangerback Walker, 4 Walking Ballista, and 4 Metallic Mimic.
Yeah, the UK, that package is just golden. You don't take that apart.
Love well, it. we want to get as many creatures out as fast as we can so that we have many Ensoul targets.
Yep.
And then... to round it out, we have the vehicles part of it. So I landed on 4 Smuggler's Copter, 3 Heart of Kieran, and 3 Consulate Dreadnoughts.
Wow. And this is over Ornithopter, or are we still running that?
2 Ornithopters.
Okay. So Consulate Dreadnought, that is the spicy brew. When I originally wanted to do this, I was like, I want a Siege Modification, a Consulate Dreadnought. And that is a one-man vehicle that's 7/11 that crews for some insane number that you're not doing.
Yeah, crew 6. So,
yeah, we don't keep that text doesn't matter. What matters is 7/11 vehicle. That really is all that matters because we're gonna put a siege mod on that. Smash for 10.
Well, the other thing that I realized too is there's a few other one drops that we could play. You know, there's Pacification Array if we want to be like a little more defensive and have sort of like the ability to make our creatures harder to block by manipulating their blockers, or we could go with
Hope of Ghiapur.
Hope of Ghiapur. That was another one. Like, it's a Thopter. It's legendary. I even tried some of the more Thopter tribal centric cards. But what I realized is basically what I want to do is put a Siege Modification on a Smuggler's Copter or Heart of Kieran every single game and bash for either 6 or 7 with either a creature on defense or a loot effect, because that's just a 3-turn clock against every deck.
Yeah.
And if I can bash for 7 on turn 3, that means by turn 5, I'm killing you with just the 2 cards that I played. So between that and then in Soul Artifacts and Tezzeret's Touch, just to make my Hangerback Walkers and Walking Ballistas bigger than the actual 5/5s they are, because they still keep the counters on them. It just changes their base power and toughness. Is going to be really strong.
Let's talk about one thing, because I think it's important to understand the distinction. Why play Tezzeret's Touch? Now, there's 2 lines of play that it allows you to do, and that is Tezzeret's Touch brings your creature back. When they go to kill it, you get it back. Which is really important.
Well,
right?
We also have 4 Shrapnel Blasts. So let's say you go turn 2, Hangerback Walker for 1. Turn 3, you put Tezzeret's Touch and you get to attack for 6. Now the next turn, when you get to attack for 6, if they try and remove it, you can Shrapnel Blast, get a Thopter out of it, and then get your Hangerback Walker back.
Like, gross. Like, that's or Ballista or Heart of Kieran. Like, that's gas. Right? So I know a lot of people are thinking, you know, you're playing 7. No, we're playing 11 vehicles total.
4 Smuggler's Copter, 3 and 3. So 10 vehicles total.
So 10 vehicles and like 11 in soul effects. And I know a lot of people are like, you're going to get these like weird clunky hands where you're all vehicles, no souls, or the reverse. And you're just sitting there with nothing to do. And that again is the variance level of the deck. It could happen. And again, these aren't final numbers. This is like initial like, well, you're going to take this. So I guess we'll get real data next week, right? To see how it did.
Yeah, I think this is where I'm at. I mean, the other options are playing something like Abzan, but I think a Vehicles or Ensoul S deck is just going to be incredibly strong against the Thalia decks and the Siege Rhino decks. So all of my creatures are going to be bigger than Siege Rhino, and because I'm Ensouling things that are already in play, they're basically unaffected by Thalia.
and flying. Like, we can't, like, flying is so important in the format. Like, I get the Consul Dreadnought. It was a card I liked early on, but because there's no trample, if there was trample, like, if there was a way to throw trample on it, I would love that. But I hate that it's just a big thing that just gets chumped, right?
Yeah, I mean, if you played 93, 94 or Magic from back in the day, then you know what the Abyss does. And if you are a little more newer to a player and you've used Sorin, Solemn Visitor Emblem, it's still the Abyss. Every upkeep, they sacrifice a creature. So, I mean, from turn three to the time they die, if they have to sacrifice a creature or take 10 damage every turn, to me, that's what I want to be doing in this aggressive deck. Yeah, all these cards get pushed. Yeah, all these cards are 2-for-1s. Shrapnel Blast is meant to mitigate that damage, and being if you can get 5 damage out of one of these cards, that's all you're hoping for, you know?
Yeah. It's just like playing. Well, it's not really like when we were originally brewing, I was like, you know, Blossom Defense. We go Rug. That really feels more like now we're building a battleship and we have like some protection, you know, for when they try to kill it. But again, like, it's just a hedge right now because your line of play is I'm shrapnel blasting you. So you're like, I could care less if you're trying to kill me. I still need to keep killing you. So
yeah, between the walking ballistas and everything dealing 5 damage, I feel like 2 attacks is what I should need to kill somebody. And if one of those attacks comes on turn 2 and the second one on turn 3, by turn 4 I should be able to have either shrapnel blast or walking ballista to finish them off. And Smuggler's Copter being a 6-3 first striking looting machine with siege modification, or Heart of Kieran being a 7-4 flying vigilant first striker. I believe that these combinations are going to be able to end games as powerful. Quickly as possible. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like I said, instead of having protection, we have redundancy.
Yeah. I mean, it's exciting. I still love getting like into like the frontier decks and just seeing like how things work, because then it immediately starts me thinking like, could we take it to modern? You know, I just love that. Like that you can come out of standard into frontier, brew for that, and then take your brew and keep like upgrading it as you go down the formats. It's just another benefit of like having an open mind to multiple formats, that you can have an idea for a deck, have some fun with it, and then like just keep moving down the formats and keep upgrading it. And it just feels like you're always tinkering with something. Maybe we're just tinkerers. I don't know, but
oh, I'm definitely a dwarf. Yeah, like I'm a tinkerer for sure. So we're totally that's why when I got to play Darksteel Citadels, which we didn't even mention, you get to ensoul that and then throw a siege modification on it. You have an 8/5 first striking indestructible creature. On turn three, that's pretty good.
Yeah, there's almost. I would say that there's what nothing in the format that can kill that main deck.
Well, I mean, like, you have to worry about stasis snares and things like that. Like, but that's fine. Like, that's fine. If I can get 5 damage out of it, you know, and then hopefully hold up shrapnel blast. But that's, we already know how good Hanging Back Walker, Walking Ballista, Metallic Mimic are for the hyper aggressive starts. And crewing a Smuggler's Copter to then crew a Heart of Kieran is totally a reasonable thing.
Yeah. Also, just the filtering off copter is gross. It's just gross, especially in a deck with all the redundancy. When you need to like look for the one part you're missing, very, very, very.
Well, if you have 3 mana on turn 3 and you've played a Smuggler's Copter on turn 2, you have 4 siege modifications to attack for 6, and 7 in soul / tesser touches to attack for 5 on turn 3 and loot.
You're crushing. I'm excited. I want to hear what this deck does. That's all I care about right now.
All right, well, we'll post the link to the visual view in Goldfish, and give me all your feedback and playtesting before the end of the week when I need to play it.
Sweet. Now, let's talk real quick, because everyone's probably like, guys, where's my shirts? They're being
printed. Oh, what? We're still doing that? I thought we just got everybody's money, and now we're going to go make soap.
Yeah, well, sorry, guys, we didn't tell you that the shirts are soap. No. Just so you guys know, so order's been put in, money has been paid. We should be getting, images from the printing, house, of our shirt designs. So they're going to take some like test photos of what the actual like lithographed artwork looks like, or silkscreened artwork on the shirt. So as soon as I get those, I'll tweet them so everyone can see what they look like. But we should have confirmation of printing this week, because I want to make sure we get everything perfect, and then we're going to go to print. So, I mean, we will keep you updated. as soon as I know, you will know. Don't worry. Again, we're still probably on what pace for March 1st. First week of March, maybe we're going to try to ship them all out. I know that we did want to mention subtly, because I was on Twitter soft launching our new playmats, because I was just trying to help everyone out who's ordering a shirt. I was like, you know, if you want a playmat, we'll throw it in with shipping, because you're getting a shirt anyways. So a couple of people will get these like before everyone else, but keep an eye out. They're going to be available at Face Toronto, and we will be looking into what finding ways to get them to other people, shipping options.
And in case you thought that we make money off this in any way, shape, or form, Maddie just decides to throw in play mats for a bunch of people, you know? Like,
sorry. Well, I forgot to calculate added shipping.
Yeah, we'll already cover the shipping. Wait a minute. What?
I kind of – it's okay. You know what? In the end of the day, we're not – I'm not trying to make money off the merchandise. I'm just trying to do cool shit. You know, trying to get people cool stuff.
That's number three.
Well, this, you know what? I got excited, all right? So I can't control it. Anyways, stay tuned next week, people, because we're always hype. I want to see you hype too, so stay hype. Be hype.
Hype.
And don't swear. Well, you can swear, but just don't swear on air.
Yeah, stay in school.
Stay in school, man. Don't do vehicles. They hurt your brain.
Brew battle believe.
Yeah, we need to believe more. We'll be right back. Twitter.
I know.
All right.
It's all those suckers in post-production that we pay.
Yeah. That whole crew of people.
Those guys are idiots. They basically work for free.
Well, they're in the garage, right? We just kept them there. Yeah. We lured them in with soap, and now they don't know how to get out. They're just like, oh my God, why do they keep giving us shirts to make? You haven't even seen the stickers yet, fools. Okay, all right. We're going to just roll into this one because this one is hype.
Oh, I also got to. I'm gonna brand myself as Tony Awesome Sauce.
Okay.
Because it comes across like a little bit better, and then I have a name, and then you can call me Tony. You know.
Oh, there you go.
Right.
I like it. All right. What the hell is our what is our intro like flow again? I always screw it up. I've done it different every time. I'm like,
if you say welcome hype, to hype. If you say Hypecast.
Oh yeah, it's done. I'm out. New host, replaced. I'm instant replaced if I do that again.
You are put on only editing.
Yeah. Yeah, you're just a monkey. Get in the garage. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, man.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll just roll into this and see how this flows because the train only goes forward. It's done, man. There's no – you can't stop it.
Yeah. Choo-choo, all aboard.
Yeah. How much do you pay for this? Dude, it's a one-way trip. We're going into a cliff or we're going to get to the station.
We don't even know if the track's done.
Yeah, what tracks? Well, we don't need tracks. All right, here we go.
Oh, man.